Sarah Menon recognizes that so often we think of place as a physical location, but when it comes to a sacred place, it is never a location only, she contends. It becomes an environmental event that fuses a person and a location in an aesthetic field of sorts. She refers to San Marco in Venice as one perfect example. She continues, the concept of the sacred can refer to a place, to an experience, or to something more complex, to place experience. In associating the sacred with aesthetic experience, we recognize that things have more than utilitarian value, reflecting a condition where we can find ways of being other than our own, together with respect, reverence, and wonder, the sense of humility and awe towards something that has intrinsic value. Words of Sarah Menon in her study, Constructing Space. There was something of that sense of creating a space for experiences that might evoke wonder. The Rotunda at Marywood University on the campus in Scranton is a landmark that is part of the Liberal Arts Center. It features historic murals by Roman artist Junipero Raggi and the Hall of Presidents. It was completed in 1937 and is the third largest rotunda in the state of Pennsylvania. Marywood University's concert choir will perform in concert in the visually and acoustically stunning rotunda this Saturday, December 9th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, December 10th at 3. The concerts are open to the public free of charge, and the director is Dr. Rick Hoffenberg.
We're very lucky to have the architecturally and visually stunning rotunda at our Liberal Arts Center. And it's true, your reference to the cori spezzati, or spaced choirs of the Venetian early 17th century, is really apt. We're actually going to be performing a piece by Giovanni Gabrielli, who, along with his uncle Andrea, were not only music directors at San Marco in Venice, but also innovators of this style, this Venetian polychoral style that inspired them to write for music that calls for 3, 4, 5, even 6 separate choirs. I was very lucky this past August to visit San Marco for the first time. And it was the one day on our Italian trip that we had just terrible weather. It was a severe thunderstorm and the rain was coming down very hard, thunder and lightning. We were in the plaza hoping that it would let up. And instead, a bolt of lightning actually struck right there. It's the loudest sound I think I've ever heard in my life. And the blessing in disguise was that this immensely long line of people waiting to get into the church almost immediately scattered. And so we decided it's now or never. So we went to the church entrance, and within a few minutes we got in, which is unheard of. Usually you have to wait a very long time. But you go into the church and you see all these, of course it's immense, and you see all these different areas where you can imagine different choirs sang or performed from. And I should add that choirs were not always singers. Depending on the day, they might have instrumentalists perform some of the lines. They didn't place importance on distinguishing between vocal and instrumental lines the way we do today. We have much more specificity today. A bassoon line is a bassoon line. Back then, it could be a baritone, could be a sackbut, whatever instrument or singer happened to be available, they would avail themselves of. But our space at Marywood it doesn't have the separate spaces, but what it has is this incredible reverberant acoustic that is just magic. I tell prospective visiting students, when you have a chance, go to the Liberal Arts Center, and if nobody is around, just sing a little bit in that rotunda, and it's like you're mic'd, and it's just the sound bounces off the walls. And so you can imagine 120 singers on the second floor with the audience on the first floor looking up. The visual, the audio experience is pretty spectacular.
But then you have to be very careful in what you choose to share.
You sure do, and you have to program music carefully. There's a lot of music that you couldn't effectively perform in that space, because if the music changes harmony too quickly or is too active, it will just be muddied. So it's not that we perform all slow music, because if you get into that trap, I don't think you perform a concert that will ultimately be effective. But you have to choose music that, even in a reverberant space, will still be harmonically clear. So the longest piece on the program is a piece called Cantus Missae by Rheinberger, the Mass in E flat for double chorus. And this is, I would say, probably Rheinberger's most famous piece apart from the organ sonatas. It draws from certainly the Venetian polychoral tradition, and you certainly see the influence of Bach and Mendelssohn as well, but it is truly Rheinberger's own, with the most beautifully sensitive and evocative, expressive writing and evocation of the text. I think it was, in a way, Rheinberger's rejection of the Sicilian movement that partly led to the way this mass was written. The Sicilian movement being a conservative trend, it started around the mid-19th century, and the emphasis of the Sicilian movement was on clarity of text at the expense of musical innovation. So they did not want composers to use things like text painting, for example, because that was considered a compositional excess and unnecessary. They wanted the clarity of sacred texts for use in church. That was not only the top priority, but really the only priority. And Rheinberger, while the text is often perfectly intelligible, he indulges in a great many beautiful compositional moments, especially the credo, of course, in a way, the climax of the mass proper, where you have the resurrection. And the way he sets it, words like ascendit, the ascent, and descendit, and et incarnatus, and all of these phrases are, even if you didn't know what they meant, you can hear it in the music, the way he sets them. It's incredibly beautiful writing.
And you've explored Rheinberger before, and you have some sense that he's been overlooked, or in some way that he has much to share with us.
Yeah, I guess I can no longer consider myself a closet Rheinberger fan, because now I'm just a fan, because last year we did his Star of Bethlehem, which is a wonderful piece for chorus and orchestra, less well known.
When you have a major piece like that, then you really want to give us a lead in or lead out, or give us a whole experience in addition to this piece.
Absolutely, very true. And I wanted every piece on the program to have its place in the context of the program. The first four pieces on the program are two contrasting settings of two of the most common Advent texts. So for the Ave Maria and O Magnum Mysterium, for each one we're performing a Renaissance or early Baroque setting, and in each case we're performing a setting by a living composer. So the Ave Maria, the setting is by Victoria, the great Spanish Renaissance composer, who is probably considered, along with Palestrina, Byrd, and Orlando di Lasso, one of four giants of the High Renaissance. Victoria was unique in, as far as we know, only composing sacred music. If he composed secular music, none of it survived. So as far as we know, that's all he composed. It's in the style of Palestrina, and in fact, he probably studied with Palestrina. And the music is incredibly well crafted. He showed a particular affinity for Marian texts, and in fact, he wrote two settings of the Ave Maria. There's a very famous one that now people question whether it was really written by Victoria, but assuming it was, it's a rather simple four-part setting that is accessible to community choirs, college choirs, even high school choirs. The one that we're performing is much less often performed. It's for eight parts, double choir, considerably grander and more sophisticated. And unlike the four-part setting, it was published during Victoria's lifetime, and he was quite proud of it. And then we're contrasting that setting with a contemporary Ave Maria by the young composer Daniel Elder, a very talented composer who people might not be familiar with. He's quite young. He started out as a physics major, actually. He just got his bachelor's degree in 2010 from the University of Georgia, and then he went to Westminster Choir College and graduated in 2012. So he's still a youngin', but very talented. And then I mentioned Gabrielli. We're doing his Omanium Mysterium, which is for two choirs, double choir. And then we're contrasting that with a very mystical, beautiful piece by Frank LaRocca, his own setting of the Omanium Mysterium. And I think in his setting really captures the mystery of the text. And so you hear these long phrases that I think will just be very haunting in a reverberant space like the Rotunda. And then the other part of the program is, I think, another interesting pairing of pieces. We're doing a popular piece by the composer Charles Wood, probably his most famous piece, called Hail Gladdening Light. And then I decided to pair that with a piece written at about the same time, just a year apart, by Herbert Howells, a younger composer who, in fact, wrote this piece, Even Such Is Time, for Charles Wood. So there's a natural connection there. These two pieces by British composers written about the same time, pupil and teacher, and you see a young Herbert Howells trying to please his teacher. And it's interesting because there are facets of the piece that reflect more famous, mature Howells pieces and others that show a kind of young, brash composer making his way and finding his way. It's a wonderful piece.
Dr. Rick Hoffenberg, music, theater, and dance, department co-chair at Mary Wood University, associate professor of choral conducting, and director of the holiday concerts approaching this weekend. Marywood University's Concert Choir will perform in the visually and acoustically dramatic Rotunda this Saturday, December 9th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, December 10th at 3 in the afternoon. The concerts are free and open to the public. For more information on the web, marywood.edu, marywood.edu. Two performances of this holiday concert, and that's Saturday, December 9th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, December 10th at 3 in the afternoon in the Rotunda at the Liberal Arts Center on the Marywood University campus in Scranton. For more information on the web, marywood.edu, marywood.edu.